Well, welcome once again to the Path Church. We're so happy that you are here. So we are continuing our blockbuster summer series. We are down to our number two movie as a church. So, and that movie is The Avengers. So before we move forward, I want to make sure that I give you a chance to give you the easiest way to share your faith this whole week. The easiest way to share your faith. And what's that? Facebook. So we are streaming live from my page, and my page is Angel Maldonado, also from the Path Facebook page. So take just a few seconds. You got your phones out. I see. Okay, we're doing it. We're doing better every week at this. And just hit share and post it on your page. With that, we want to welcome all of our Facebook friends who are watching. Everybody say welcome.
Welcome.
We love you. We hope you enjoy our service and this sermon. The guys have done a great job preaching the word over the last 2 weeks, right? Let's give it up for Ray, who preached on The Dark Knight. Give it up for Rick, who preached on Gladiator last week. And I know Ray was trying to make a case for DC. And, I listened to it. You know, I actually watched it on Facebook Live because I was out of town. And I know it just didn't go well with our congregation. So I just wanted to make sure Ray knew there's a reason why The Dark Knight, a DC movie, was number four, and The Avengers is number two on the list. Can I get an amen, church? Ray just loves bringing that blasphemy into the church. DC, Patriots, all kinds of stuff. We will pray over that, brother. We love you, though. Ray is one of my best friends. We love you. Before we go any further, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll jump right into it. I believe we'll have a trailer for us to get us started. God, we thank you so much for this beautiful day. You have given us an opportunity to come to you to worship, God, and not just to take from you as we get to hear your word right now and be inspired and convicted and challenged, and you give to us, but we want to give to you, Lord God, through our worship, through our the way we are attentive, Lord God, the way we honor you right now. By our focus, we pray that your word will penetrate our heart, will move us to become more like your son Jesus, to put our faith in him, God. Be with me as I preach your word, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, let's see what we got. Just a little reminder of us of the Avengers. I love the Avengers. It was on my top 10 list myself. I knew there's a lot of Marvel superhero fans out there, so I did a little test on Facebook to see which superhero was their favorite superhero, Marvel Avengers superhero, and so it was a tight race, let me tell you, between Hulk and Iron Man and Thor and Black Panther, and even in this movie. Black folks are so happy to get a Black Panther up in that thing. We all, don't worry, I understand. You know, Ant-Man, I had a little guy in there, a little Puerto Rican Spanish guy in Ant-Man. I know what it's like. But the winner, by just a few points, we had over 50 people share, it was Thor. Thor. It was a lot of them sisters on there. A lot of the sisters said Thor. I don't know why. I just saw a little emoji with the hearts, on the eyes with the hearts, you know. I'm like, all right, Black Panther and Thor, all right. But why do we love the Avengers so much? You know, I was thinking about it. Man, the movie's just a well-written superhero movie, right? The characters are powerful and funny. The special effects are amazing. But really, it's a story that draws us in, right? You have this group of remarkable people, superheroes, in their own right, who are passionate about saving the world. And it's so inspiring to see a team come together. We love that. We love people coming together to accomplish something great. We love it in sports as well. I mean, there's just something about that in our human nature draws us in. Now, they had to come together because the enemy was too strong for any of them individually, right? And so Nick Fury, the director of S.H.I.E.L.D., says, you know what, we need to bring them together. He understood that they were better together, amen? Or should I say greater together? That is our theme, you know, for the year is greater. And that is the name of our marriage retreat that's coming up, Greater Together. Any married folks in the house today? So we are planning and preparing for our Greater Together. You like that little plug I just did? You like how I just... It wasn't easy to get them to work together. It wasn't easy to get them all on the same page. They're all smart. They're all strong. They're all powerful. They all have superpowers. And they all had different things they're passionate about, different ways that they want to save the world, different things that they're doing to help other people. But all of a sudden, Loki appears. And quickly, he converts a couple of the good guys to the dark side. You know, he places that scepter on their heart, and it just darkens their whole heart, makes them evil, right? And all of a sudden, they are on a mission to take over the world by force. So a group led by Captain America comes, and they find out that Loki is at this event where they got to get this other part to create the portal to bring in their army. And so they go to intercept and arrest Loki. And then Iron Man shows up, right? And then Thor shows up, right? Because they get Loki and they arrest him and they're taking him back to headquarters to the airship, that amazing thing that they have, their base is. And then all of a sudden Thor shows up and he's like, I'm taking my brother back. I got unfinished business with Loki. And so all of a sudden, it's Thor versus Iron Man, and they're going at it. And I watched it with Layla, and Layla's like, I thought they were supposed to be friends. It's good watching it with a six-year-old. She got it. She got the spiritual lessons. She helped me with my sermon. And then Captain America jumps in, and he tries to be the peacemaker. They start fighting. Finally, they get back to base. They make it back to base. They work things out. But really what they struggled with, the biggest issue was their lack of trust with one another. They did not believe the best in each other. They assumed the worst. They were suspicious of each other's intentions, right? And so, and the truth is, some of them were not being completely honest about the mission, about what was going on behind the scenes. And so they're kind of testing each other out to figure out, man, can I really trust these other superheroes so I can go all in and save the world? And there's a great scene where they're all bickering with one another. And Hulk, you know, Dr. Banner says, you know, we're not a team. We're a ticking time bomb. That's what we are. And they're going back and forth. And Captain America, all of a sudden, he's a good guy, right? But all of a sudden, he's taking on Iron Man. And what would you be without the suit? Put on the suit. Let's take it outside, you know. That dude's old school, man. He's from like the 1918, 1700. I don't know. He's like, let's just take it outside, a good old rumble. And so they're going back and forth, arguing, and all of a sudden, they get attacked. But while they're arguing, there's this part where Thor gives a diagnosis for the whole situation that's going on. And what he says is, he says, people are so petty. Petty. Thor said, these folks are petty, man. Petty and puny. But you know what happened was that pettiness was contagious. And pettiness is, so I had to look up, you know, I like my resource, you know, I have my resource where I like to look up certain, you know, slang, the Urban Dictionary. And I just want to make sure everybody understood the definition of petty. One. Making things, events, or actions normal people dismiss as trivial or insignificant into excuses to be upset, uncooperative, childish, or stubborn. Can I get an amen? That's a perfect definition, boy. Number two, a person who is purposefully childish with the intent of eliciting a reaction. In parentheses, sometimes funny. And number three, an immature overreaction in retaliation of an undesired outcome. pettiness, to be pettified. I don't know, I'm just making it. So the bottom line is some of us struggle with pettiness. Some of us are quick to overreact in a childish way to small things, things that aren't that big of a deal, right? And it hurts our relationship. Sometimes we struggle with pettiness. And the truth is, God's people struggled with pettiness. Look over in Exodus chapter 17. You know, this whole Avengers movie reminded me of this story in Exodus chapter 17. As they were being petty, what they did not realize was there was an outside influence that was making them petty. It was the scepter that Loki had. And this scepter that he has, this weapon that he has, he's able to shoot people with it, boom. But he's also able to manipulate people with it. And so that scepter was in the room, and in the scene, you see them struggling with it, but they don't even understand that there is another force that's attacking them and making them petty. But Loki understood, and that's why he got himself caught in the first place, because he knew that if he can cause the pettiness to cause the division, then he would have a better chance to win, because he knew he could not win if they came together, right? And so he said, you know what? I got the perfect plan. Hashtag pettiness. In Exodus 17, God's people got really petty. They started doing way too much, got all into their feelings. I'm using them all today. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 1 in the NLT says this. At the Lord's command, the whole community of Israel left the wilderness of Sin and moved from place to place. Eventually, they camped at Rephidim, but there was no water there for the people to drink. So once more, the people complained against Moses. Give us water to drink, they demanded. Quiet! Not you, but quiet, Moses replied. Why are you complaining against me? And why are you testing the Lord? But tormented by thirst, they continued to argue with Moses. Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Are you trying to kill us, our children, and our livestock with thirst? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what should I do with these people? They are ready to stone me, God. The Lord said to Moses, walk out in front of the people, take your staff, the one you used when you struck the water of the Nile, and call some of the elders of Israel to join you. I will stand before you on the rock of Mount Sinai. Strike the rock, and water will come gushing out. Then the people will be able to drink. So Moses struck the rock as he was told, and water gushed out as the elders looked on. God is so patient with us. God is patient with our pettiness. And he provided the water for them as Moses went and called out to God. In verse 7, Moses named the place Massah, which means test, and Meribah, which means arguing, because the people of Israel argued with Moses and tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord here with us or not? But I want you to pay attention to verse 8. While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. So the Israelites had been wandering in the desert. They got to Rephidim. They started struggling because folks were thirsty. And they start grumbling against the Lord and grumbling against Moses. And so Moses, you know, listens to God. He strikes this rock. Water comes out. But while the people were still there grumbling in their feelings, they get attacked. You know, they were struggling with the same thing that the Avengers were struggling with. Are you trying to kill us, Moses? Are you trying to kill us right now? I mean, they quickly forgot that Moses sacrificed his life in front of Pharaoh to rescue them out of Egypt, right? They quickly forgot all that God had done for them, and all of a sudden, Moses is trying to kill them, their children, and their livestock. I would call that an overreaction, right? And so while they were struggling, you know, in their pettiness, there was an enemy that actually wanted to kill them, right? These Amalekites, they were known as plunderers, because what they would do is they would wait for armies to win wars, and while they were plundering, the armies were getting what they won, they would attack that army and steal all their stuff. Or what they would do was they would wait for the scragglers. So the women and children usually would be in the back of the group, and they would be by themselves. And so they would wait and attack the people that were last and had separated themselves from the group. And so usually that was women and children, just because, you know, it was harder for them to move. So these Amalekites would prey on the weak. They would be watching and looking to devour. Does that remind you of a villain that Ray talked about a couple of weeks ago? Because that's the same thing that Satan does, right? He's watching and he's looking to devour the weak and those who separate themselves from the body. So that's what happened. The Amalekites attacked. They jumped on the opportunity. But here's the thing. When you're in a battle, you really don't have time to grumble against one another. Because when you understand the spiritual battle, you understand that we're all we got. It's like, that's why you, like, one of the worst things that any person in the armed forces can do is betray their platoon, right? Or run away while they are fighting. I mean, literally, when you're out on the battle, you're all each other have. And really, we got to understand that we got to make sure that we're not fighting amongst each other, but we're fighting the enemy that is trying to take us out. And sometimes God has to remind us that there is a demonic and satanic force, an outside force that is coming against us, trying to take us out. When the Avengers saw that, when they got attacked, they were able to put everything else to the side. Iron Man and Captain America, they were about to go at each other. Guess what? They end up fixing the airship. They end up working together to save people's lives, and Iron Man actually saves Captain America at the end of that. And so they made it through. They made it through that initial attack. But not everybody. Agent Phil. Anybody like Agent Phil? He's such a nice guy, you know? He's like, Agent Phil. Why'd Agent Phil have to die? But he says something so deep to Nick Fury. He says this. He says, you know, Nick Fury's trying to say, hey, this is not an option. You can't die. He says, it's okay, boss. This was never going to work if they didn't have something to. And then he dies. I thought I missed it. I kept rewinding. I'm like, wait, y'all be quiet. I need to listen to what. This is a big part of them. No, I just stay quiet. And it gives you an opportunity to figure out what was it that they needed, right? And so I just take it from the movie Avengers that what he was trying to say, it's okay, boss. This was never going to work if they didn't have something to avenge. And so Agent Phil was like, hey, I will be the sacrifice if this is what it's going to mean for them to be brought together for a greater purpose. And that's, I believe that's how Jesus looks at it. It's like they need something to rally around. Jesus says, I'll be that sacrifice so they can rally around me. They needed something that hit close to home for them. And that's what they did. You know, Nick Fury, he goes and he was slick. So he brought out the cards that Agent Phil had. And he, you know, he said, hey, Agent Phil had these in his coat pocket. And they were all bloodied. And he shows them the bloody cards. And they're like, oh, man, they're looking at it. And it wasn't really right. They were actually in the locker. But Nick Fury knew what they needed to get them going. So they were ready to go. They were ready for battle. And you better believe that Moses and his squad, they were ready for battle, okay? So in verse 9, this is what happens. In verse 9 of Exodus 17, it says, Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us tomorrow. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each other on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. Man, they same thing, right? They get attacked, right? And they're like, we got to come together. And that's what happens. And they did what had to be done to make sure that they won this battle. So Moses says, all right, listen, we got some form. Tomorrow morning, Joshua, you take your boys. Y'all go down there and fight. Me, I'm going to take a couple of guys, Aaron and Hur. We're going to go up to the top of the mountain. Y'all come with me. We're going to make this happen. And I love that because everybody had a different role. When you look at who really won this battle, you have Moses, you have Joshua, you have Aaron and Hur, and you have all these soldiers on the front lines, right, fighting this spiritual battle, right? And so while they were up there praying all day long from sunup to sundown, Joshua and them were down there on the battlefield. You know, I know that our singles and campus ministry had an all-night prayer this past weekend. All-night prayer from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., 5 for some, 6 for others. And you know, what I heard was that, you know, while when the sun was, well, about 5 in the morning or so, during the last prayer, you know, there was a group that was still praying, but then there was a group called the cooking ministry. And the cooking ministry said, squad up, we got some work to do. And so while folks were praying, folks were cooking. Can I get an amen, sir? And so while folks were praying, folks, God was using some other people to answer those prayers because you know what them folks were praying about. Lord God, please, Lord, we hungry. It's been a long night. But I love that because some were praying, some were out there making food. I mean, I know there was scripture being read. Man, it's so amazing when we come together and everybody does their job, plays their role. Now, I believe there's two reasons why God's people were victorious here. And those two reasons are unity and prayer. Unity and prayer. The first one, unity. Over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says this. In the NLT, it says this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Make every effort. Make every effort. Make what?
Everything.
To keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Binding yourselves together with peace. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. God says peace is the opposite of pettiness. That's how we bind each other, bind together in unity through peace. We're called to make every effort. Man, have you ever thought about what that means? Like, God's word is like the highest standard. You know the Holy Spirit wrote this. Because no man would talk about every effort, like require that much for something that can be so difficult. Especially when you start looking at home and our marriages. Making every effort to be completely united? That's hard enough between two people. Let alone a family, let alone extended family, let alone a spiritual family that we all come from different places with different backgrounds, with different issues, different baggage, different insecurities, and God calls us. And I believe that's why God calls us to make every effort, because it's going to take every effort. Like a half-hearted effort is just not going to keep us united, right? And so we cannot and we will not let Satan get the victory when it comes to our relationships. We have to have that conviction. That no matter what, we're going to make every effort to obey this scripture in the Bible. Amen? And I love it because Moses surrounded himself with a group of people that had his back when the enemy attacked. As great as Moses was, the most humble man in the world, he knew he was not physically able to do it on his own. And as great as every superhero was in the Avengers, they knew they were not physically able to do it on their own. So they came together. And I love that part where they come together in that last battle, right? And you see, they're like, they go from fighting each other, and you see them, the camera goes around them, and they all take their places, and they're just ready to go. Man, I love that scene, because finally, they've come together. Everybody put their egos to the side. They played their role. I think Iron Man actually said, Captain, tell us what to do. Give us the orders, Captain. So they let Captain America lead them, right? And everybody played their role. And that's the same thing we see with Moses and his team. And I believe Moses and his team here were the original Avengers. I believe that we are the Avengers. We are a group of people committed to one another and committed to saving the world. Amen? We have a mission to seek, save, and send, right? To be deliberate about helping people to know Jesus, helping them be saved, to go to heaven. We can do a lot of good deeds, but if people go to hell, then what's the point? We're trying to save people's lives for eternity, right? And then teach them to be able to do the same. Make disciples who make disciples who make disciples and continue to baptize people and help them be saved for eternity. And everybody is needed, church. Everybody has to be on the front lines. Everybody has to be deliberate about playing out our purpose. Everybody has to be engaged. And so we got to make sure we find out what our purpose is, right? What our passion is. And we got to live that out to the best of our ability. But not on our own. What's most important is that we do that within the team structure. What's most important is that we come together for something greater. Something greater. And what that means is that we're willing to come together as a church and say, okay, man, as together, what can we accomplish? Because one person can only accomplish so much. You get a room, 150, 200 people in the room together, moving together toward the same direction. Now that is powerful. And not only is every person needed, but every ministry is needed. We need our married folks, right? Man, marriages have such a unique gift. I mean, the fact that your marriage can be such a light to a broken world. Man, so many people have gone through divorce, and so many people come from broken families. A godly marriage is an incredible picture of God. Right? Marriages, we need you. Single people, we need you. Your lives are so powerful. Man, to be able to decide, you know what, I'm going to do things God's way. I'm going to stay pure sexually. I'm not going to go out there and step out there. I'm going to keep it G-rated because I know our preteens in the house. You know what I'm talking about. To do things right. Right? To come together. Man, our campus people, I don't know. Man, whoo, the older I get, I don't know how our campus students do it. Lord, bless them. Boy, these campuses are the belly of the beast. There's all types of sin going on. Just remember to your college days. I think it's gotten worse. Teenagers, we need you. Man, it's so powerful. Preteens, we need you. It's so powerful to see young people who love God. Man, we need you to be a light in your schools, elementary schools, in your middle schools. I remember middle school was tough for me. You're trying to figure out who you are, and you're trying to figure out what group you belong to, and you're trying to figure out all types of, you're going through changes, your body's changing, you know, it's just all types of stuff is changing. Preteens, y'all are amazing. I hear about what you guys do, your attitude, your love. Oh, man. My daughters are looking up to you. Layla can't wait. Like, that's the big sisters. It's the big brothers. So thank you for the example that you are setting. God's going to use you in amazing ways. We need every single part of the church because the world is lost. There are people who are harassed and helpless and probably worst of all, hopeless. And maybe that describes you this morning. Because I don't want to assume that it only happens outside the church. Hopefully the church is the place you go when you feel like that. And I want to tell you right now, it's not just about playing. We just want you here just so you could be here. Say, oh, we got somebody else. No, we want to help you. We want to help you find hope in God, find faith in God. And no matter what you're going through, no matter what is causing you to feel harassed and helpless, no matter what you've gone through in the past, the sins you committed, how you wilded out last night, it doesn't matter. What matters, you're here today. And you can make a change today, and we are here to help you today. Don't leave out those doors without getting the help you need to overcome the challenges in your life. There are children right now, let me tell you, you're talking about the preteens, let me tell you, I'm going to have a real conversation with you guys. There's kids right now, that are as old as you, that are being abused in their home, okay? We heard a story the other night about one of our brothers went to volunteer where children who can't afford, they're homeless and they're hungry, right? And so, talking to a 6-year-old boy who opened up to this brother about how his 12-year-old sister is being sexually abused. Telling him in detail what's going on because his mom is addicted to drugs. His dad is a drug dealer. And his sister's dad is abusing her. These are kids, children that are going through this every single day in our neighborhoods. There's all types of stuff. Man, I walk around and I pray for these. Man, in our neighborhood, it looks good on the outside. I pray for the people on the inside of these homes. I barely see them. I know there's all kinds of stuff going on in these homes. And I know there's stuff going on in our homes. But God, with God, we can have hope to change. If you ever struggle with compassion, just go serve the underserved communities. Just go serve, like get involved, have conversations. You know, we met with the school now is called, this school is now called John Lewis Invictus Academy. And we've been meeting with the principal, and he's been so hospitable with us. And we said, you know what? We had a great partnership with Best Academy. We want to have that great partnership with you as well. Not only do we want to pray for your school, and I want to ask us to pray. Actually, their first day of school is tomorrow. And so they're going to have sixth graders, about 350 sixth graders from the Douglas cluster come here, right, to get a new start, to get their education. But you know what I said, what else can we do to serve you? Yeah, we want to pray for you, but we also want to serve you. He said, you know, a great way you can serve us is by helping us get uniforms for the children that can't afford it. There's kids that can't afford to buy school uniforms to go to school. A polo and slacks. That's it. And you know how much it costs? I asked them, I said, we want to do a drive for you. We want to collect some money for you. We want to sponsor some of these children. $16. With $16, we can clothe, buy a student a pair, a uniform, a shirt, a polo, and the belt that comes with it for $16. I said, we can do that. So today, we're going to take up a special contribution for JLIA, for these kids. It's $16, and we're going to do it next week as well, so you know, give you a little bit of opportunity to plan in advance. $16. Just to be able for these kids to go, and we really missed it because it'd be great for them to go to the first day of school looking like everybody. Can you imagine showing up? And most people are in uniforms, but you can't afford it. You know what that does to confidence? We know what that does to insecurity, right? And so we want to make sure that every kid has what they need, right? And we have such a giving church. I love our church. Quay told me today, we've been doing this clothing drive already. Right? We already have that heart, right? And so this is specifically for the school, but we've already collected 600 articles of clothing. 600 articles of clothing that we get to give away to those in need. You can clap about that, church. Praise God. But like I said, I want to make sure that we're served, but I also want to make sure that we are praying. This week, take time out to pray for these children. And that's the second thing that really helped them gain the victory was prayer. Prayer. Moses said, Joshua, you go down and fight, but we got to pray. And that's what that meant. When he raised his staff, he was crying out to God. He was crying out to God. He was a man of prayer. He was a humble man, knew he needed God, and he brought those guys with him to make sure they can cry out to God all day long. But I love about this, they put their faith not just on the battlefield, but in God. I want to encourage you today, put your faith in God. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what needs you have, physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how you see yourself as deficient or weak, the character stuff that you're battling through, put your faith in God, amen? Because it's God that can give us the victory. It's God that wants to come through for us. It's God that wants to mend our broken relationships, right? It's God that wants to provide for us and give us what we need. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It's God who wants to redeem us from our sin, right? Who wants to give us another chance. It's God who can do all that, who has the power to do that. It's God who is our avenger, amen? Put our faith in God. You know, sometimes we pray and we don't see our prayers being answered, and it's hard. We can get weary like that. We say, man, we're going to pray, and then it's not our arms that get tired, but really it's our initiative, it's our drive that gets tired, and I heard this incredible story of a couple of years ago. There's a church down south in Clayton County who started praying. First Baptist of Jonesboro said, "We're going to pray for every single school in Clayton County." Okay, and so, I serve with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. That's where the area director, Mike Roby, that's where he goes to church. And so he goes up. And so a small group chose to pray for North Clayton High School, specifically 2 years ago. And one of those people that kind of spearheaded the cause was an elderly lady in her 70s named Miss Patsy. Miss Patsy. And so Miss Patsy and this small group decided that they were going to pray for North Clayton High School. And not only did they pray, but Miss Patsy would come to the school and deliver cookies. And Miss Patsy would come and see how she can get involved. But they really didn't give her an opportunity, right? And so they either didn't get back to her, and she felt like really hopeless. She's like, I don't even know if my prayers are working. Right? I don't see anything good that's going on. In fact, I'm looking at the news and I'm seeing all this bad stuff happen at Clayton County, right? And so just a few months ago, they do this again where they're praying for every single school in Clayton County. And Miss Patsy goes up to Mike Roby after church and says, Mike, I got to confess, we've been doing this for 2 years. And I just don't see how God is really working at North Clayton High School. I've tried and it's not working. And Mike kind of starts laughing. Like, you really don't know what's going on at North Clayton High School? And he starts telling her what started happening 2 years ago. 2 years ago when Coach Cap got brought in, who just a few months earlier, the season before, decided that he wanted to make sure that the football team was a football team that was going to be spiritual, a football team that was going to talk about character and life. And so he came in and he said, you know what, I'm not even going to start this season if I don't have a chaplain or a character coach here. At the same time, I'm going to Jonesboro High School because one of our sisters was leading the FCA, and she asked me to come speak, and I meet a guy, and I'm, by the way, conversation, said, you know what, I've always wanted to be a chaplain for a sports team. Really? There may be a need for you. And just like that, that's how the ball started rolling. And all of a sudden, you see the victories that we've seen in these lives. We had the team here at church. We prayed over the coaches, prayed over the players. All the athletes were in character education. I was preaching to all of them last year. Hundreds of them. People who come up to me who changed their lives. Jamal was baptized. The captain of the basketball team, and so many other kids who were studying the Bible. And we didn't even know that Patsy and her small group were praying for 2 years. And isn't that a great example of what we're looking at in the scriptures? We need prayer warriors, church. We need people who can be devoted to prayer. And then we need people on the front lines. We need it all so that we can save this lost and dying world. As we finish up, we have a couple of more weeks that we're going to do this the Blockbuster Summer series. What we're going to do after that is this next series is going to call Moving Mountains. Moving Mountains. It's going to be focused on prayer. On prayer. As a church, I am committed. We're going to be a praying church. We're committed to praying. And there's a book called Moving Mountains. That's what it's going to be based on, by John Eldridge. He's the author of Wild at Heart and a lot of other books that some of the brothers have read. And it's all about praying with passion, confidence, and authority. I read it to start the year, and my prayer life has not been the same. And it talks about how there's a way that things work, and there's a way that prayer works so that we can be effective in our prayer lives. So check it out. Write that down, Moving Mountains. I want to encourage you to go ahead and get the book now so you can be ready when we start our series in a few weeks. We'll let you know when that's going to start. As we wrap things up here in verse 14 says, after the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it out loud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar there and named it Yahweh Nisi, which means the Lord is my banner. He said, they have raised their fists against the Lord's throne, so now the Lord will be at war with Amalek generation after generation. This is, the Lord is my banner. As you know, when an army goes out, they usually have their flag of their country that they rally around. And really what that meant is that they rallied around God. And for us as a church, God is our banner. Amen. And so, and then he says, I love the NIV says, the Lord says to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered and make sure Joshua hears it. Why? Because Joshua was out there fighting and it's like we were doing at North Clay. We didn't even know Miss Patsy was praying, but make sure Joshua knows that this was a team effort and make sure he knows that he didn't do this on his own. And make sure he knows that when the battle was waging back and forth, it wasn't that he was that good or that bad, but it was that we were up here praying and God had something to do with it. And he was the superhero in the story. God wanted to make sure, because it's so easy for us to take credit, right? He wanted to make sure he knew it was a group effort, but that ultimately it was about God. Church, I believe God has incredible victories in store for us as a church. Let me tell you, I love what God has already done through us. He has used us to do some amazing things. I mean, you're talking about over the last 10 years, baptizing and restoring over 500 people. Man, that's incredible. When you talk about there's disciples, yeah. There's disciples all over the world, literally, who are following Jesus and helping others to follow Jesus. We've had over 40 weddings. That many, many people who met right here in this church, who got baptized, who became members, you know, and met each other and got married, and now they're having children, right? Where generational curses and generational sin is being broken. I mean, man, that God has used us for that. I mean, that's incredible, right? You know, we fed the hungry. We've clothed those who were in need, as we talked about today. We've supported the mission field overseas, and we are investing and supporting the mission field right here in our inner city, right? We've invested in that. We've put on productions. We've put on conferences with hundreds, even thousands of people have come out. I mean, we've reached so many people in these last 10 years. The list goes on and on. And yet I believe that our best days are ahead of us. That the best is yet to come. And not only in this life, but as a Christian, you know the best is always yet to come. It's called heaven. And so that is something that we can live by, that we can hold on to, that the best is yet to come. I believe we're going to see God do things that we've never seen before. And we're going to see things that we have seen him do before. And we're going to want him to keep on doing it. We're going to see that. But we're going to keep fighting the good fight. We're going to keep fighting for our unity, right? And we're going to keep crying out to God in prayer like never before. And how is it that we're going to see our church grow and be able to impact more and more people, hundreds and thousands of people here in this city and across the world? How are we going to do that? We're going to do that by staying united. We're going to do it together. And we're going to do it on our knees. Amen? And to God be the glory. Let's go ahead and pray for our communion. Dear God, we are so humbled to be in your presence, God. We are grateful that you provide us with hope, that you, through your son Jesus, make it possible to have a relationship with you for eternity. We know we don't deserve it, God, but through your grace and mercy, you look at us as worthy, that we are worth it to you, God. Father, we thank you that you are our avenger, that you avenge our cause, that no matter how our enemy Satan has attacked us, how he may have destroyed different areas of our lives, how he may have hurt us in the past, how do we know that you are our avenger and that? And we get to see that in Christ Jesus, to give us a second chance, to give us new hope, new faith, new life. And Father, I pray for any of us, God, who right now are searching, and for you who are deciding, trying to decide and count the cost on whether we should put our faith in you. Father, I want to pray that they will make a decision today to put their faith in you, to trust and obey you with their lives, and to follow the path that you have marked out for them. And Lord, I pray that together you will use us to do amazing things, things we've seen before that you've done and things we haven't. Lord, keep us united in the spirit, through the bond of peace, the blood of Jesus. God, and help us to grow in the way we cry out to you. I want to pray specifically for this school, John Lewis Invictus Academy, was starting tomorrow, God, for the 350-plus kids that will be walking through these doors in this auditorium. Father God, that your angels, God, will be ready and armed for battle to fight off the demonic forces that are fighting for our children, that are attacking our families, Lord God. That you will raise up an army of angels and an army of prayer warriors, God, and that we will be used by you to make an incredible impact in the lives of these children, the lives of their families, the lives of this community, God. We love you, God, as we take this bread and this juice, God. We pray that we may be united with you, which is the most important. In Jesus' name we pray.